Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Been talking about the Wizards draft throughout the show. You know what, Jason? I didn't know. Did you want them to draft Trey right there? Like, it probably would have come down to Trey or Fierce.
Yeah, it came down to those two.
Who did you want?
I think I'd rather have Trey because, he's a little bigger. And I feel like the Wizards are kind of set at point because I think Bub can be the point. Mm-hmm. And if he can get better, I think they're fine. I didn't think they really needed a true point guard. I think if you can get a scorer who can play, on the wing, I think I'd rather have that.
All right, we got Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. What's going on, Chase?
Not much, guys. Good to be on with you.
What's up? So did you have a sense that they were high on Trey beforehand?
I had a sense that they liked him. I honestly didn't think he was going to be available at 6. I thought he was going to go top 4, maybe not get past the Utah Jazz at 5. I don't think a lot of people expected the Jazz to take Ace Bailey. He didn't want to play there, reportedly, but they still took him anyway. So I think it was a little bit surprising that he was available at 6. I think he was a top 4 talent in this draft, but I think the Wizards were pleasantly surprised that he was there because he's a really, really good player, arguably the best shooter in this draft, I think has a chance to be a 20-point-per-game scorer at the next level, and that's something the Wizards really needed. They've overloaded on defense so far in their rebuild, and now they have a guy with a really high offensive ceiling.
Chase, if Bailey and Johnson were both available to the Wiz, do you think they still would have taken Johnson over Bailey?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there are similarities between those two. I mean, Ace Bailey's a little bit taller, but they're known for their outside shooting. And Trey Johnson is just simply much more productive last year in college. Obviously, Ace Bailey is tantalizing what he could do around the rim. But, if you look at the numbers, he didn't get to the rim very often. And he didn't finish very well around the rim, much like Trey Johnson. So I think some of their weaknesses are similar. But Trey Johnson was just much more efficient last year. And there are some question marks with Ace Bailey and his willingness to pass. He had 11 games last year in college with 0 assists. It's pretty rare for a guy to do that, especially someone who is averaging over 10 field goal attempts a game. Trey Johnson doesn't really have as many question marks, so I think he fits with what the Wizards want to do. Similar players, but perhaps fewer weaknesses.
What if Johnson was gone and Bailey was there? Would they have selected him in that scenario?
I think that would be pretty likely, yeah. Either him or Jeremiah Fears is another guy who I think made sense to them at that spot, another guard. Just a lot of players were available in that range who can score. So I felt like the Wizards were in a good spot either way. They were 30th last year in offense, one of the worst shooting teams in the league. Weren't great defensively either, obviously, but I think the outlook was much more clear and much more positive on that end of the court because you have Bilal Coulibaly, you have Alex Saar. They needed to add some high-end offensive talent, so I think they were going to be in a good spot either way, and Trey Johnson ended up being the guy.
All right, so you mentioned the term offensive talent. When you look at some of their building blocks, whether it's Saar, who was drafted number 2, Coulibaly, who's now finished 2 years, or Bub Carrington, who do they think has the most offensive upside?
Of those three, I would definitely say Bub Carrington because he's more of an offensive player. The other guys are more known for their defense. And Bub Carrington, shot the ball decently last year. I think he closed strongly. His overall percentages might not have been great, but he was the best shooter of the rookies. He was a really good pull-up shooter, off the dribble, especially for a rookie. Made far more pull-up threes than any Wizards rookie on record since they've been tracking that stat. And he's just been known for doing that, scoring the ball, creating his own shot. He's going to have to get a lot better at driving into the paint and scoring around the rim. His trajectory as a basketball player is kind of interesting because he grew really late. Like as of his sophomore year, junior year of high school, when he was playing in Baltimore, he was like the shortest kid on the court. And then he had a growth spurt his junior, senior year that made him a D1 player. It made him an NBA player, but he was always the shortest guy on the court. So he had to score from the perimeter. He couldn't, go into the paint and then score against the taller guys on the court. So his skill set kind of has to catch up to his body. And after he's had the growth spurt, hasn't happened yet, but I think what he's shown off the dribble, I think there's a lot of potential there.
All right, so with the 18th pick, they ended up trading it, right? A lot of people here, you know, across the country, everybody knows Clayton, right, for what he did in the tournament. So that was an intriguing guy, I think, for this fan base, potentially. Utah selects him, or we select him for Utah. Did you get the sense that they traded the pick knowing they'd be able to get Riley, or is he just like one of two or three guys they would have been comfortable with at that position?
You know, Will Dawkins, their GM, was asked that last night, and he indicated that they didn't know Will Riley was going to be the guy at 21. He said this draft was more unpredictable than it usually is, and I feel like it's always pretty unpredictable, but he said that they had a few guys they liked at that spot. They ended up going with Will Riley, and it's one of those picks where, like, once they make it, you know, you can see why he was the type of player the Wizards like. You know, he's a wing with positional size who – you know, might not have a defined skill set at this point, but they're taking the long view with him. And if it works out, he could be great, you know, and he's really big for his position. You know, he's probably a three, and he's 6'8" without shoes. So he's going to be like almost 6'10" court. It's one of these guys who I would kind of define as like a lottery ticket where, you know, the talent's there, the size is there, maybe wasn't the most productive player in college, even though he was the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. But he was a big-time recruit going to Illinois, a five-star recruit. He's from Canada, played high school in Pennsylvania. Didn't, you know, have an All-American season like some five-star recruits did last year, like a Cooper Flagg. But he was kind of in the mix as like a top-10 player in his high school class. So I think the Wizards are banking on that talent, the talent that made him one of the best recruits in the nation, and hoping that, you know, that talent can sort of reveal itself in the coming years.
Talking to Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. Hey, AJ Johnson's an intriguing guy. Young guy, very skinny, super athletic. One of his dunks went viral early on. What's the Wizards brass saying about him?
Well, I think they just like having another first-round pick talent in the mix. You know, that was, I think, the centerpiece of their return for Kyle Kuzma. Obviously, Chris Middleton was the big name. But A.J. Johnson was the guy that could have a greater impact long-term. And, you know, he just didn't have a whole lot of tape. He didn't have a whole lot of production for teams to go off of. He hasn't had a whole lot of experience. He played in Australia instead of playing in college and got, like, 0 minutes. So last year was really the first time that he got extended minutes. And, you know, he's athletic, as you mentioned. He's really – I think he's taller than people realize. Like, I've you know, seen him – sometimes on the court standing next to opposing players, and I'm like, oh, wow, he's as tall as that guy. That's crazy. He's really aggressive and good at getting to the rim. He's going to have to add weight, going to have to improve his shot. But kind of like Will Riley, you know, like just in terms of the size and the talent and the athleticism, like there's star potential there. If he could figure it out, it just might take a really long time to see if that will actually take place. So I think for him, I think management likes him, and next year you're going to see the young guys play a lot of minutes, and I think he'll be in that mix.
So now that they, you know, Middleton picked up his player option, making 32 mil, McCollum they trade for, they still got Smart, they bring in Olenek as well. So they've got a bunch of veterans, not a bunch, but four or five veterans to couple with those young guys. What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to keep try and trade off some of these vets? Or, I mean, if you have McCollum and Middleton and Smart, you kind of have to start those guys. But with the younger guys, I would think you'd want to start them to develop more. So what do you think they're going to do as opposed to last year when you pretty much had all young guys in the starting lineup?
I think they'll favor playing the young guys. I think especially as the season goes on, you know, maybe early on veterans get more minutes. You know, obviously the trade deadline is going to be a huge deal when it comes to their veteran players. But, you know, I don't think roles are as guaranteed for veterans as they are for young players. You know, Marcus Smart last year, very accomplished guy, defensive player of the year. He came off the bench a lot after he started playing for the Wizards. They have, I think, set up a situation where the young guys are going to get the primary roles, get the most minutes, and in a lot of cases get the most shots because they believe that, you know, giving young players a high usage rate and the opportunity to play a lot and play through mistakes, that's the best way to develop them. And it's just their philosophy. You know, it's different for different teams. You know, the Boston Celtics, I think, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, did it a little bit differently. They made them sort of earn their roles on a veteran team that was regularly going on deep playoff runs. But these guys, Will Dawkins and Michael Winger, they come from Oklahoma City that have sort of done it differently, right? They've drafted a lot of young guys over the years and just thrown them right in there. And it's worked out, and they've seen it work with other young players in the past. So that's the way they choose to go, and that's the position they're in, I think, in some respects because of circumstance, right? The way their rebuild has gone and with the amount of picks they've gotten and the talent that they've brought in. So I think Bub Carrington, even A.J. Johnson, but certainly Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, expect those guys to get a ton of minutes next year and really be able to show what they could do. And I think ideally a few of them would take big steps forward.
So the opening night line, starting lineup, McCollum would probably be the only starting veteran?
I wonder about Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton did start when he was playing last year, right, and had a pretty central role. So I feel like he'll probably be in there. But Marcus Smart, seeing them bring him off the bench last year, I feel like that's going to continue. You know, they've got a deep group of guards at this point, and we've already seen him have that role. And obviously he made a pretty nice impact when he was coming off the bench.
Yeah.
All right, Chase. Good stuff. It's Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Talk a little more hoops. John Fanta is going to join us coming up at 9:25 from Fox here on The Junk.